Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the ninth perek of Sefer Shmuel Beis. The topic for today is Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan. So here's what happens. David HaMelech is now finally in a place of Shalva, of Menucha. He has successfully reprised the enemies of Israel to the really furthest reaches, as we saw yesterday. And David HaMelech is now in a state of calm. So David HaMelech now does an internal inquiry. Wants there's security, and he wants to know if there's any of the children of Shaul are remaining. And he promises to do chesed with him for the sake of Yonatan, as he promised Yonatan. And it turns out that, in fact, there is a Eved, a servant from the house of Shaul HaMelech, whose name is Tziva. So David summons Tziva and says to him, is there anybody else left from the house of from Shaul? I'd like to do them chesed of God to that person. So Tziva says, yeah, well, there actually happens to be a son of Yonatan, your friend, who's Nechei Raglaim, who is crippled. So David HaMelech summons this young boy, whose name is Mephibosheth. He's the son of Yonatan. We saw beforehand that Mephibosheth had died, not died, but he was crippled when Yonatan was killed in battle. Upon hearing the terrible news, the maid servant, the nurse who was carrying him tripped and fell, and he remained crippled for the rest of his life as a result of that experience. So Mephibosheth comes in front of David, and he bows down, prostrates himself in front of David, and David says to him, don't worry, you have nothing to fear. I'm going to do chesed with you because of Yonatan, your father. We should also remember, as a footnote at this point in time, that usually when a new monarch, a new line of blood takes the throne, the first thing the king usually does is to wipe out the bloodline of the remaining king. It's not a good thing to have anybody who feels that they are owed the throne still living. David HaMelech says, don't fear, I'm going to support you. You're going to eat off my table all my days. And so David HaMelech makes two requirements. Number one is he turns to Tziva and he gives all the property, all the real estate that Shaul had. So Shaul clearly was, obviously as a king, was likely, well endowed. He probably had a lot of property, and he gives it all to Mephibosheth. And then he says that Mephibosheth for his lifetime is allowed to eat off the table of the king. And he turns to Tziva and he tells Tziva, you're going to be his servant. You're going to serve Mephibosheth, and you're going to work his lands, which are now his, and he's going to eat on my table. And Tziva responds, yes, I'm going to do kechol asher tzivah Adoni HaMelech, ken yaseh avodecha. So your servant will do. Mephibosheth oichel al shulchani ka'achad mibnei HaMelech, and Mephibosheth will eat on my table like one of the kings of the land. And so it was. Mephibosheth stayed in Jerusalem because he couldn't travel from where his property was in Binyamin in the north. So he stayed in Jerusalem to eat on the table of the king, and because of his physical state. That's the end of the perek. Very short perek, only 13 psukim. A lot of things to think about when considering this perek. There are a lot of Tanakh-wide themes that are at play here. Number one, when thinking about this, is who is Tziva? Just to appreciate this, Tziva is actually not a Jew. He is a Eved Kanani. He is a heathen slave. So that means to say he's not even a Jewish person, just to appreciate what's going on over here. Who is Mephibosheth? We noted that, as was described a few prokim back, Mephibosheth is this child of Yonatan who was crippled at an early age as a result of the battle of the killing his father and many of Israel. There is a echo to the son of Pinchas earlier on in Shmuel Aleph. When Pinchas and Chofni, the sons of Eli, were killed in battle, on that day, Pinchas' wife went into early labor, died in childbirth to give birth to the child Ikavod. The child of honor is gone. That was the name of this child because of that terrible event. It seems like Mephibosheth lives in the shadow in the same way that Ikavod did. Mephibosheth lives in the shadow of that tragedy, the tragedy of his father. He never really is able to reclaim his own personality. He's not able to reclaim his own power. Just a few technical points when it comes to looking at this perek. Number one is, first of all, David HaMelech did promise this in Perek Chof, as one of the examples in Shmuel Aleph. He promised Yonatan that he would make chesed with Yonatan even beyond his death, right? That's what Yonatan had requested there. Cut away the kindness from my house forever, even if I'm not around. And this is what David is ensuring right now. What would have happened if David did not do this? Meaning, let's say, what is David changing? What is he altering in the situation? So the Rebbe Mefarshim, the Radak, point out that Ritzpah, who was one of the Pilagshim of Shaul, had children herself. So that would have meant that Mephibosheth wouldn't have been the sole inheritor. So David HaMelech redistributes the property solely to Mephibosheth as the direct line of Shaul HaMelech. How does David have the right, the legal right to do this? Mephibosheth debate whether actually a king has the right to redistribute property at his own bequest or not. It was Mishpat HaMelech, which we discussed in Shmuel Aleph Perek Ches. Was that something he can do or is not really allowed to do? Was it just a threat? Maybe he had other rights to this property. It's a legal debate in the Mefarshim as to what level of capability David has to do this. The one thing I think which is really interesting at the end of the Perek is that when Siva responds to David HaMelech and he says, yes, I'll do everything you said, and he says the following. He says that Mephibosheth will eat at my table. My table? Who's my table? That sounds like Siva saying Mephibosheth will eat at my table. What does that mean? So Rashi says, well, yeah, it actually David HaMelech interceded in the conversation. David HaMelech reaffirmed that Mephibosheth and his young son, whose name was Michal, would eat at my table, meaning David HaMelech's table. But it's not as the Pashtus of the Psukim sound like what the Oz Melech suggests over here, is that no. You see, Tziva is fighting for his own personality. Tziva, up to now, in the chaos of the destruction of Shaul's family, has probably been a pretty free agent. He has many children, as the Perek tells us, and he's a pretty strong-minded individual, as we're going to see. Tziva doesn't feel like he's going to now kowtow to the wills of this new, young master. So what does Tziva do? In a certain egotistical sense, he says to David, yeah, you know what, I'll serve him, but he'll eat at my table. And we have to ask ourselves, there's an ominous aspect to that comment. Who's the master? Who's the servant? Mephibosheth is going to be a very frail, is going to be a very subservient and passive person. Who's the servant to who? This question is going to resonate later on when we move to Perek Tesvav, where David HaMelech is going to be worried about how loyal Mephibosheth is, and that question is going to revolve around Tziva's control of Mephibosheth, as we're going to see that unpack itself. Very complicated part of Tanakh, as we see Tziva's true colors shine in a nasty way later on. The last thing just to think about when considering this parak is that David HaMelech is doing chesed over here, but who's he really doing chesed for? It's not so much as if Tziva is the recipient of the chesed, Tziva or Mephibosheth is the recipients, it's really Yonatan. David HaMelech is doing chesed im achayim v'im ameisim, with the living and with the dead. Yonatan is the primary recipient of this chesed. Isn't it interesting? Who do we know in Tanakh who is blessed as having done chesed im achayim v'ameisim, and doing chesed with the living and the dead? Well, isn't it interesting? That's the bracha that Boaz gives to Rus, when he says, wow, Rus, you're choosing to marry me and pursue me in order to preserve the legacy of your lost husband. That's incredible that you care so much about those who are no longer here, who cannot no longer receive, and you're doing chesed for them. What a hallmark of a character. Isn't that fascinating? Because, of course, Rus was the great-grandmother of David. That means to say that David HaMelech over here is displaying what made him the king. This is exactly what a king does, is he doesn't betray the dead. He doesn't let them lie on the side of the road and be controlled by their servants and end up losing out the property or the honor they deserve. That's who David HaMelech is. That's the continuation of Rus HaMavia. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.